Press TV headlines, the U.S. and Britain say their troops will remain in Afghanistan despite the Al-Qaeda chief's death. In the U.S., a federal court says an average of 18 war veterans commit suicide every day. And in Yemen, more than 20 people are killed as government warplanes bomb anti-regime tribes.
It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, the U.S. says the war in Afghanistan is far from over, even after the announcement of Osama bin Laden's death. Major General John Campbell made the comment in an interview with reporters. Campbell also claimed that bin Laden's death could spur more attacks on U.S. soldiers in the war-torn country. Meanwhile, Britain has also rejected a troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. General James Bucknall says UK forces, will stay in the country even after the planned security handover to Afghan troops in 2014. Bucknall also claimed that a long-term commitment is the only credible way to end the Afghan war.
In the U.S., a federal appeals court has ordered the government to drastically overhaul its mental health care system for veterans. The court has blasted the Department of Veterans Affairs for failing to provide proper health care to former soldiers. In its ruling, the court cites an average of 18 ex-troops committing suicide every day. The strongly worded verdict said evidence shows that the department is failing in its duty to provide timely care for the mental health needs of veterans. It says it often takes a suicidal former soldier weeks to get a first appointment. The lawsuit was filed by two veterans groups. Well, to discuss this further, we're being joined by Iraq War veteran Mike Preisner from San Francisco. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, an average of 18 veterans committing suicide every day. What does this tell you?
Well, this is really a massive number, and this is just the veterans who are out of the military. I mean, this isn't counting the scourge of suicide in the active duty ranks of the military, where more active duty soldiers are killing themselves than are being killed in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. What this reveals is that despite the mantras by the politicians of supporting the troops and caring about its soldiers, actually they don't care about us at all, because all it would take is some simple funding, some real attention to these mental health care issues to solve this crisis, but the government simply is not doing it. And the other point that this shows is that this epidemic of suicides among Iraq and Afghanistan veterans and among active duty soldiers right now isn't happening because we're being sent to these countries to help anyone or build roads and schools, as the politicians like to say. These suicides are happening because these are brutal occupations against a civilian population that young men and women who had no other choice but to join the military because they couldn't afford to college and couldn't get a job have been made to take part in.
Right, Mr. Preisner, you're a war veteran yourself. You're within the system. Do you think that the criticism that's coming from the court to the Department of Veterans Affairs is adequate?
Well, it's just one step, and there really needs to be a drastic overhaul in mental health care for veterans. But the main cause of these suicides is constant, repeated deployments to two wars that we have no reason to fight. And now the United States is in a situation where it's in endless wars. I mean, occupations in Iraq and Afghanistan are permanent occupations where soldiers are going to be subjected to permanent combat. And what's happened over the past decade is that it has put such a strain on the rank-and-file military that it's led to these record-breaking numbers of suicides. And so really, of course, changes in the mental health care system will help, but the only solution to end this epidemic is withdrawing all of the soldiers from these two wars.
Well, in our earlier news piece, we just reported that the U.S. has said that the war in Afghanistan is far from over, even after the announcement of Osama bin Laden's death. In the light of these comments, how do you respond with the conditions of veterans that are coming home from Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, you know, that announcement is absolutely not surprising at all, because the war in Afghanistan has nothing to do with fighting al-Qaeda. Even the Bush administration at the outset said that they were not very concerned with finding bin Laden. Leon Panetta, the head of the CIA, soon to be the new Secretary of Defense, said that there's probably 50 to 100 al-Qaeda operatives in Afghanistan. I mean, this is a very small number. So the war was never about al-Qaeda to begin with. The war is about securing a network of military bases to exert dominance over a very strategic, very resource-rich region of the world. But for U.S. soldiers, the death of bin Laden really means absolutely nothing to us. We're going to continue to be killed and maimed, subjected to psychological trauma in these wars. You know, since the 9/11 attacks, over 6,000 U.S. soldiers have died in this so-called war on terror. Tens of thousands more have been maimed, and hundreds of thousands have come home with this psychological trauma. So the U.S. government announcing that they're going to continue to send these troops to Afghanistan reveals that the war is not this war on terror, as they would like to say. It's a war for empire. It's a war for global domination, a war that people in the military have absolutely no reason to fight, especially with the care they're getting when they return.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Iraq War veteran Mike Preisner speaking to us from San Francisco. Many thanks for your insights here on Press TV, sir.
Moving on with the news now, Yemeni warplanes have carried out an airstrike outside the capital, Sana'a, leaving at least 23 tribesmen dead. The incident happened as hundreds of tribesmen blocked a tank brigade, reportedly moving to suppress anti-government protests in a nearby town. Reports say the brigade was commanded by President Ali Abdullah Saleh's son. Meanwhile, regime forces have wounded at least 20 demonstrators in the western port of Hodeidah. People there say they plan to intensify protests and occupy government buildings to force Saleh out of office. Our correspondent in Sana'a tells us more about the airstrike and the situation on the ground in Yemen.
It was a big confrontation that happened today. It was hundreds of tribesmen blocking a main road and firing guns at this brigade of tanks, which belonged to the president's son. This confrontation went on for a couple of hours before the airstrikes were ordered and these planes flew in and bombed the area. So this is a massive development, and it's also a development that's taking place outside of the capital, which, you know, points to the growing frustration not just in cities in Yemen, but also in the rural areas where, you know, tribesmen are also turning against the president. There have been discussions about how to escalate their protests. And this 10-day period that you mentioned is a kind of an agreement they've reached whereby they're escalating their protests, which means that they're now going to be doing more sit-ins, more marches, trying to occupy kind of government buildings. And I think this will climax next Tuesday when the protesters have called for a march on the president's palace.
Libyan revolutionaries say they have pushed back pro-Gaddafi forces from the outskirts of the besieged city of Misrata. The revolutionaries say they have advanced to the west following the NATO airstrikes. This will report say the revolutionaries are now in control of a coastline area that stretches to the capital, Tripoli. But fighting over the west and south of the city continues as pro-Gaddafi forces are still in control of the eastern side of the airport. Medics say weeks of fighting have claimed at least 300 lives. The UN has also warned that the only way out of the widespread shortages is to stop the war. It has also criticized the use of cluster bombs and mines, saying it's a callous disregard to the welfare of civilians.
Bahrain says it's expelling the Reuters correspondent Frederick Richter has been told to leave the small sheikhdom within a week. This after Bahraini officials complained that Reuters had lacked balance in its reporting during the Saudi-backed regime crackdown on opposition protesters. Reuters has expressed regret over the decision. The Bahraini regime has arrested hundreds of people and detained several journalists since opposition protests began in February. Media Reports Watchdog has already added King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa to its blacklist of, quote, predators against press freedom. Reporters Without Borders says a Bahraini journalist has been killed in detention.
A protest rally has been held outside the Saudi embassy in Egypt. The demonstrators are angry at Saudi Arabia's alleged efforts to block the prosecution of ousted Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. The protesters also accused the Saudi government of supporting radical groups that threaten Egypt's security. Mubarak was forced out of power in a popular revolution in February. The former president is under investigation on suspicion of involvement in the killings of anti-regime protesters. The state prosecutor has extended Mubarak's detention for another 15 days. He was first arrested on April the 13th, but has remained in a hospital in the Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The former president reportedly suffered heart problems during an interrogation.
In Egypt, thousands of protesters are staging a sit-in outside the state TV building in the capital. The move comes in response to Saturday's deadly sectarian clashes in Cairo. The protesters demand that a torched church in Cairo's Imbaba district be rebuilt. They also want the people behind Saturday's violence to be put on trial. And they're demanding the head of the country's ruling military council's resignation. They say Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi should step down because the military failed to protect people. On Saturday, at least a dozen people were killed and hundreds injured in sectarian clashes. The St. Mena Church was set ablaze following an exchange of gunfire between Coptic Christians and Saudi-funded Salafis.
You're watching World News from Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. The U.S. and Britain say their troops will remain in Afghanistan despite the Al-Qaeda chief's death. In the U.S., a federal court says an average of 18 war veterans commit suicide every day. And in Yemen, more than 20 people are killed as government warplanes bomb anti-regime tribes.